Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we'll be studying the book of Titus. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds.
God uses his people to draw the world to himself. Reflect on your own story of faith. Was one of the reasons you were compelled to follow Jesus because of another Christian in your life? As I think about my own journey, I think of the love and the life and the peace I saw in the lives of believers around me that caused me to want to know God. How we live as followers of Christ is deeply significant because we have the opportunity to reflect our Savior to a world who does not know him. This is what the Apostle Paul's letter to Titus is all about. Titus was a co-worker of Paul's who was commissioned to the city of Crete to lead a network of house churches toward greater spiritual maturity. Essentially, the Cretans were struggling to live lives that reflected God. Some members were getting drunk and having inappropriate sexual relationships, causing them to look no different from the non-Christians around them. Others were adhering to religious legalistic practices and forgetting God's grace. Paul says this of the Cretans. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. Paul wants the Cretan Christians' lives to be characterized by their faithfulness to God, to be rich with good works and rooted in grace. Paul encourages the church to show who Jesus is through how they live. He knows that God will not look compelling to the world when God's people do not look compelling. In his letter, Paul breaks down the work that needs to be done. The corrupt leaders must be confronted, and new, spiritually mature leaders who can edify the church body should be appointed. Older men and women should possess integrity and self-control to set an example for younger people. Younger men and women should focus on loving their families well. And all believers should live as respectable citizens, submitting to their rulers and authorities and living at peace with others so as to be above reproach in their community. Through Paul's letter, we're reminded that the actions of God's people are important because the world is watching. When Christians both obey God's commands that sanctify them and make them look more like him, and also live lives that uphold the dignity of their neighbors and city, the beauty of the gospel is put on display for everyone. As citizens of God's kingdom, we must think through what our behavior tells the world about our King. Does the way we treat the people in our lives reflect the love and forgiveness God has shown us? What do our daily decisions, such as how we dress or organize our schedules, say to others about our values as followers of Christ? Are our attitudes in our families, schools, and workplaces reflective of the hope we have in Christ? I know sometimes I can isolate my faith to be just about me and my personal relationship with God. So I can feel like since God knows my heart, as long as I can stand with integrity before him, I'm good. And while this is the most important aspect, people who don't know Christ probably aren't going to be interested in the God they know I worship if they don't see something compelling in me. So let's say I'm shut down and unfriendly to my neighbor every morning before work. I might know in my heart that I'm in a good place. I'm just tired and need a few minutes to wake up. but my neighbor might not know that. If this is one of the only times we're seeing each other, they might assume this is how I always am. I might genuinely possess joy and peace in Christ, but my neighbor won't know that if I don't go through the extra effort to display this to them in the way I kindly greet them or show interest in their life. Or let's take another example. As Christians today, we encounter a lot of gray areas. As we think through if it's okay to follow a certain fashion trend or go see a certain movie or spend a certain amount of money on something. Yes, we need to first come to our own conviction before God. But I think we often leave out of our decision-making process how unbelievers might perceive our actions. It's not that we're living for other people, we're just taking seriously our role as witnesses and thinking through how certain people in our specific communities might interpret something. We might be willing to change or sacrifice something in order to avoid a misperception about our beliefs and the God we follow. In his letter, Paul reminds the Cretan Christians that the gospel is the only source of empowerment to live transformed lives that reflect Christ. He says, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. So Paul is reminding Christians that Jesus gave his life to save them from their sin and to equip them to walk in a path of good works. He reminds Christians of who they are in Christ. New people washed clean from their sin. Heirs that will inherit a glorious eternal life. These are the realities that motivate us to live for Christ and to point others to him. So take a moment now to ask God to help you live in light of the gospel, that your life might reflect who God is to the world. As you listen to the worship song, praise God, who changes us with his transforming power to live lives that radiate his goodness and love.
Sing of what he's done, there is hope for everyone. Sing of what he's done.